But now that would be an attempted attempted assault, because which was a question raised in Wilson, and the Supreme Court got around by saying that an assault is a substantive crime. It's not an attempted battery.
Well, it would be attempt.
I don't know why it still couldn't be an attempted assault under our draft here. Your
well,
Wilson situation.
We have a second section on attempt, don't we?
If our definition of attempt goes far enough back and goes much farther back than our case law definition of attempt now goes, maybe so. Maybe it would be covered under attempted assault, because the person wouldn't have, like in Wilson, I think they argued that he didn't have the present ability to do to assault his wife because she was someplace where he couldn't get at.
But he's taken a substantial step toward it, which is
right.
Essentially the guts of your attempt draft, and probably what we'll end up with. So he's attempting it by running around the building waving a gun looking for her.
Right.
Because
right.
That sure is the devil a substantial step.
And that's the reason that these definitions of attempts that you find in the Model Penal Code are moving farther back into the preparation stage and calling this an attempt to get at this kind of situation, where if you could find that there has been a substantial step taken toward the commission of a crime, it's going to be called an attempt.
Reconnoitering the place contemplated for the commission of the crime, that sure would fit in.
The one thing that bothers me now, what is menacing going to be? A misdemeanor, I take it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so then waving a pistol around stuff is going to be a misdemeanor, regardless of whether it's loaded or unloaded. If he's running around, unless he actually shoots at the person, so you can say that this is an attempted assault.
No.
Because you're not just pointing a pistol at somebody doesn't necessarily mean that you plan on using it. You're putting the guy in fear that he's going to get shot and everything else. But this doesn't necessarily mean that you're planning on actually using it, as far as being an attempted assault. So you're going back to menacing, unless the guy actually shoots him.
Well, we also have in this draft, though, Frank, we've got under Section 5, we have recklessly endangering another person, which covers reckless type of conduct, where there may not be an intent to either frighten or to injure anybody, but if it's reckless conduct, it would possibly fall within under Section 5, or depending on your facts, you could get into menacing. But
okay.
But you have to read this whole, all of these sections together, and just because we called it something else does not necessarily mean it won't be covered.
Well, but I would take recklessly endangering another person would also be a misdemeanor.
Well, is that your objection that this kind of conduct should be a felony?
I would say when a person comes in and starts waving around a pistol in a bar or someplace else, regardless of whether the thing is shot, that you've got an assault, a felonious type of an assault situation. I don't know, maybe you can make the attempt definition broad enough to cover that situation, but
well, why don't we go through it, maybe, and we might pick up Frank's support somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
I don't forget his question.
Well, I think you have to keep in mind, though, the difference in the kind of culpability you're talking about, Frank, whether you're talking about intentional conduct or reckless conduct. Example, one of the present statutes we have is pointing a firearm at another. Right? That's a misdemeanor offense.
Sure.
That envisions reckless kind of conduct, not an intent to shoot somebody, an intent to kill, or anything like that.
Right. But under a present assault, he doesn't have to actually pull the trigger. Whereas the way this definition of assault goes, it depends on the injury to the person, not upon the danger to the person. And so unless he is attempting injury, you're not going to be in the police assault.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think you only have to look at the first page here and the current statutes that are in parentheses to see that the present law on assault is one of the biggest hodgepodges that we have. The Supreme Court's recognized this because most of the law as far as assault is concerned now is case law rather than statutory law. I think the subcommittee did a real good job on this, and I think that we're moving in the right direction to separate assault and battery and to get away from the conventional concept. And I really think, Mr. Chairman, if we get into this, as Representative Carson suggested, that some of the questions that Frank has will be allayed, because I've got to confess, I had the same questions myself when I before I sat in on the last subcommittee meeting.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Frank and I are thinking alike, which I'm sure scares him as much as it does me. There are a whole series of things that kind of bother me. First of all, we're taking the classical definition of battery and by calling it assault. Because the battery, of course, is an accomplished fact. We now have changed the name completely. I think that's not terribly important. The question of the definitions included in here kind of worry me a bit. We have a definition in the commentary of deadly weapon and dangerous weapon, the difference between the two. A deadly weapon, or a dangerous weapon could be a car, I assume. And one question is, are we covering here wife running down her husband with a car, walking across the driveway?
Yes.
Are these definitions in the statute someplace?
The definitions of dangerous and deadly weapons?
Dangerous and deadly.
They're in the commentary. They will be in the definition section when we get to that.
These definitions have been approved by the subcommittee at this stage.
But there will be a statutory definition. We are relying strictly upon commentary.
Yeah, I have copies of them with me here.
No,
if you wanted to go through them,
I was going to see how it would be in the...
See it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The next one is on the question as to assault in the first degree, manifesting gross indifference. Will this be a statutory definition as well?
No. We didn't anticipate that we would define gross indifference.
Are you attempting to incorporate into that the gross negligence situation of reckless disregard for the right of property of another?
Well, here, this is we're talking about human life. It's what this is confined to.
Well, the gross indifference, to me, doesn't ring any bells at all. Maybe it's using a different word for the purpose of bringing something new into the law.
We had, the first draft used extreme difference, and the subcommittee objected to that and felt that the term gross had a rather fixed meaning in the law, or at least a fairly well-recognized meaning, and that it was more meaningful than extreme. We didn't anticipate that we'd define the statute, no.
Back to my basic hangup, does gross indifference have a readily recognizable registered meaning? It doesn't to me, but of course indifference means to me that you don't really care. Gross means more than normal.
Reading the minutes is a great discussion of this very thing that you're talking about between Lampton and Burns. And then Senator Burns asked how extreme was defined. Chairman Carson read, at the end or the outermost point, farthest away, remote, etc., etc. Mr. Thornton suggested that if there must be a qualifying adjective, that the word total be considered. Senator Burns left the meeting.
Senator Burns left
That's
the meeting.
Gross indifference.
The subcommittee passed out the draft. I was gone 10 minutes and they passed out 12 sections.
Well, really, though, I am concerned about gross indifference. To me, that does not have a readily recognizable definition.
Well, Mr. Chairman, did the minutes indicate who made the motion to insert gross? Perhaps he could defend the...
Senator Lent observed that nothing was accomplished really by playing with words, but from a practical standpoint, it must be something that a judge could instruct upon. He noted that gross or great could be used and thought that by using gross instead of extreme, the subcommittee would know that they could borrow from the civil field as they knew the courts had dealt with gross negligence for a long time. Mr. Paulette noted that there had been a good deal of trouble in the past regarding defining or not defining such terms as substantial. Gross derivation was another term used, and it was decided not to try to define the term. Mr. Thornton noted that the model penal code used just a simple assault and the aggravated assault approach, and asked Mr. Paulette why he did not favor this approach. Mr. Paulette said it was mainly a question of structuring the draft. He thought the proposed draft accomplished the same thing as that accomplished by the model penal code, only with a little different format. He noted that the model penal code structure was not as simple as it looked because of the way in which they put in their penalty provisions. Aggravated assault is really two separate crimes under the model penal code because under section 211.2 it is a second degree felony, and if it comes under 211.2A, it is a third degree penalty. In effect, then, there are three degrees, but the model penal code says it in a little different way. And then he suggested Senator Lent could not agree because he still felt that there was an idea in section 3 different from 2. Carson thought if Paulette's suggestion of pulling out subsection B of 2 were followed, that there would not then be any conflict. Well, they couldn't support anything.
Why not just go to the reckless and wanton disregard for the life of another?
Because we eliminated wanton completely throughout the code.
Well, how about reckless disregard?
We have recklessly already in the...
We have reckless in the second degree.
Yeah, that's right, in the second degree.
You have it in the first degree, too.
Well, maybe after off base, does gross indifference mean something to people?
Yes.
Jim, is that...
We have a present statute, which I happen to had a case which dealt with it recently, second degree murder statute, which says any person who kills another by an act imminently dangerous to others and evincing a depraved mind, regardless of human life, although without any design to affect the death of any particular individual and so on, is guilty of second degree murder. And that's this is the kind of a thing where you fire a gun into a house or into a crowd, or you drop a heavy object off the building, and this type of thing. And it seems to me that you could adequately cover this phrase gross indifference by the use of examples such as that, typical of your commentary in the model penal code, typical of your ALI commentary, without necessarily meaning it's got to be just exactly that, because you might get all kinds of situations.
As a matter of fact, we do mention this in our commentary. There is something.
Yes, in the commentary is a reference to this type of a transaction, yeah, being the one that intended to be covered. And I think that I think in that sense it is meaningful and meaningful to a jury.
Yeah, I do too.
And I'm not at all sure that you would actually need to have the court define it further to a jury. In other words, if you're instructing on the first degree assault and the lesser included assault degrees, and one of the elements of first degree would be gross indifference to human life.
It's a built-in title argument.
The subcommittee discussed the very things that you're discussing here for pages and pages. Thornton was here, and they finally, and everything that has been discussed here are in these minutes, and they came forth with what we have here. It was on Senator Lent's motion.
Well, now, what is presently assault with intent to kill will be simply covered in what the Supreme Court already did by opinion, made an attempted first degree murder, attempted second degree murder, attempted manslaughter. So when we're talking about assault in the first degree, we're not talking about the assault with intent, what we now think of as assault with intent to kill.
No,
no,
because
we're not.
Here
and
it's
that is
be,
the attempted murder.
There
yeah,
has
right.
to be a,
yeah.
a
yeah.
physical injury. Any of these, section 1, 2, or 3, there has to be the physical injury.
Yeah. See, this draft does away with all of the assault with intent to do something else type crimes we have now. Assault with intent to rob and assault with intent
right,
to rape.
Is,
and all of those would be looked at as an attempt to commit that substantive crime,
yeah.
the crime of robbery or the crime of rape or whatever it happens to be.
Which is fine. And I think that my whole objection to this thing could fairly well be taken care of if we had a comparable statute to assault with a dangerous weapon. What is now assault with a dangerous weapon, if this were included in at the present time, the only place it's really going to fit is in the menacing.
Or the attempt.
It's exactly what it would be.
Sure.
Not
well,
really.
All right. Okay, suppose I walk up to the Coliseum and I've got a shotgun in my hands and I'm just getting ready to shoot and I'm just getting ready to pull the trigger and somebody grabs me. Now I'm taking a substantial step toward it and that would be certainly an attempt, assault in the first degree, as I read this.
Sure, if you're getting right there ready to pull the trigger, but if you just come up to the Coliseum and start waving that shotgun around and pointing it at
even that might be enough under the bit
yeah.
about reconnoitering.
Well, when Halleck's bill on firearms passes, we won't have to worry about it today.
Well, for us,
this,
not
this bothers me because unless you can show
one.
That the person actually had the intention of shooting the thing, you're not going to get the attempted assault now.
No, except that you never know the intention except by the construction of his activity.
Right, it's a matter of proof.
And that's a matter of proof.
It is now.
I just feel that waving a gun around under a loaded gun around under circumstances of people is a dangerous enough act that there's enough danger that somebody will get killed or seriously injured that it should be a felony crime to do it, regardless of whether you are actually intending to shoot the person with it or just if you're just threatening them with it. It should be a felony type of crime.
Well, you wouldn't have to call that sort of conduct an assault.
It might be an attempted assault if we adopt this.
Then.
Could very well be, depending upon whether or not what he did was a substantial step toward the completion of one of these.
Well, yeah. If causing the physical injury is his ultimate aim, because assault now is only causing physical injury. It's not just putting him in fear of physical injury.
Well, it could be recklessly causing, though, Frank. It could be second degree if he recklessly causes serious physical injury.
Then you get into the situation where we just had the situation down there under the attempt situation on assault with intent to kill now. Is it really, you can't have an attempted involuntary manslaughter. And this was an argument that we got into, you know, attempted second degree murder, attempted first degree murder, attempted manslaughter. To attempt to involuntarily kill somebody just doesn't fit. And so you to attempt a reckless injury really.
Now, I'd retract what I just said on reflection. I don't think you could have an attempt to act recklessly. I think you're right.
Are you going to have any other section on use firearms or anything? Not here, but in the code.
There's going to be a chapter 167 of firearms.
Yeah, it is.
That's going to be reviewed.
Yeah, oh yeah. I couldn't tell you, Mr. Chairman, offhand, just whether or not we have something specific in mind to cover the situation in Frank raised.
Well, if he's confining it to firearms, we could.
First, the commentary on page 17 points out that recklessly endangering is intended to cover the reckless pointing the firearm, and therefore it was deemed unnecessary to include a special subsection prohibiting this particular conduct. the rude or threatening exhibition of deadly weapons will also be covered by others under section. All that you're saying is you want section 5 a felony.
Recklessly endangering, it's on page 17.
Section well, 5, is that menacing?
No, that's recklessly endangering.
You know, Mr. Chairman.
Page 17.
Frank, I really don't know what you're concerned about, because it seems to me that from a proof standpoint, the guy that's running around outside with the gun, you've got less of a problem of proof by prosecuting him under recklessly endangering than you do by charging him with assault. Now, right?
Well, maybe that's so, but I feel that a guy that does that should face a possible penitentiary sentence rather than 60 days in the county jail.
Well, we haven't gotten around to grading these yet.
That's why I started out asking Don Bay that recklessly endangering another person and menacing would be misdemeanor offenses. Because if they're not misdemeanor offenses, then...
I'm going to no vote.
Then there's no problem with what I'm saying, because we would still have a felony crime of assault with a dangerous weapon, you see.
Well, we
Dave?
Maybe I'll finish this discussion.
We would still have a crime of assault with a dangerous weapon, because as I'm sure you noticed in the minutes, that this was one of the very things that I discussed.
I don't think that minutes.
But we might end up making it an indictable misdemeanor, but I think we should approach it at that time rather than right now at the risk of not proceeding with the assault.
Well, what would you charge your man up with now, Frank, this type of situation, a man running around with a gun, and where he's not after any special individual, he's just...
When he's threatening and menacing person, you charge him with assault with a dangerous weapon. You wouldn't call a charging with assault with intent to kill, because he hadn't fired it in a way that you could show that he intended to kill the person. He was just threatening, menacing, as under the definition of a whereas the definition of assault is here by force violence, he's threatening and menacing him with a dangerous weapon. You charge him with assault with a dangerous weapon. But it just seems to me that to be able to come under attempted assault, when assault now is battery, unless you can show that this was his ultimate aim was to actually cause this physical injury, then you're not
going to show that. You'd have to show that presently, or you'd have to, or you'd slip down to pointing a firearm or some other misdemeanor. Presently, you'd have to show facts justifying a jury in finding that he intended to do physical harm to X. That's an element of assault with a dangerous weapon right now.
Dave.
The first thing I assume in section 2, sub 1, that bodily should be physical.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Should be correct there.
The second thing is just maybe a philosophical one, but the difference, as I see it, between sections 1 and section 2 of the common garden variety fist fight is the result of the fight as to the degree of the crime, rather than the intent of the actor delivering the blow. The difference then being the definitions appearing on page 2. The common ground is physical injury and serious physical injury. And I really don't think that it should be the result, it should be the intent. Now this is a philosophical thing. If someone hits someone else with the intent to knock their block off, but doesn't succeed, all he does is graze their ear. To my mind, the culpability.
That was a lens.
Seriously, is this a button I think I like now?
Yes, but he finally deserted you.
But it seems to me that it's the culpability, the intent, is a thing that should result in a criminal sanction as opposed to the final result. If you don't have to hit very well, then you're third degree. If you get them to do a good job, it's second degree. Your intent is the same in both cases.
Or if you only intend to just knock them down, but you really
right.
have to
get them to kill them or maim them. Or. And this to me doesn't seem right. I don't like the approach. As I say, I mean, it's a philosophical hang up as opposed to a drafting problem.
Well, it all goes back to this is defining assault as battery.
Yeah. Which I don't like either. Yeah. I mean,
we're not going to get Frank up with that all day.
Assault is battery.
Right.
Yeah.
From now on.
Horses are cows.
And that's where you get into the problem is because we're not talking about what we used to talk about assault as. We're talking about battery, which is the accomplished fact.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Right. Two things on that. I think if you ask the average guy on the street what assault is, he isn't going to talk about the fine legal distinction that you use in law school. And I think if you revert back to our days in law school, it took us a year to learn the definition. Now that you're clinging so close to your academic learning.
I think our real problem in law school was that we were taking torts and criminal law at the same time.
Right, that was part of it.
And
we had a lot of problems in law school. But the other thing I'd answer Dave about, though, is our whole structure is, for instance, an assault, in the area of assault, and this is not a direct answer.
Assault.
Yeah, right. If you measure your penalties, how serious an assault it is, or battery, by your relative success down the line, moving along. The guy could have the same intent up here, but fall into a variety of categories depending where in a chronological or in a physical historical analysis he fell.
Well, but in the actual homicide, the person is dead and he's just as dead one way or the other. But we go on what his plan was, his intention is, whether it's premeditated, whether there's malice, whether it's accidental, through negligence and this type of thing. And it's not the accomplished fact that makes any difference. And,
yeah, but the rest of the crime,
well,
does.
But didn't we, in talking about robbery, arson, these other things, talk about the possible danger to a person, not what was actually accomplished?
This is the same case in burglary. The breaking and entering is a crime with the intent to do something. It's bad.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is this, if you're going to say how bad was the victim hurt, determines whether, what level of crime.
Then you're the fragile vessel.
Yeah, like then you get to the argument, you bump somebody who's very ill, and that's a big crime because he's seriously hurt, and you shoot somebody that's hale and hearty recovered. That's not a very big crime because he recovered. You've got to pick one or the other, and this historically is the...
Going back to intent, what do you do with a 250-pound prize fighter who beats the living daylights out of a 97-year-old little old lady wearing tennis shoes? Now that's worse than you and I having a tip.
Precisely.
If you're wearing tennis shoes, you have a chance of getting away.
No, but I would, it would seem to me that would then fit this category.
More serious.
If a 250-pound fellow hit her and to cause her relatively no injury, then it would fit in your or bumps her or whatever it is in the third degree, and the more serious the injury, the more serious the
more successful he is of accomplishment without regard to the intent determines the degree of the crime.
Right.
Of course,
that's
the only way you have to measure it down.
No, it isn't. I agree with Wally on the homicide. If they're really successful, you kill them, that's a homicide. There we're defining degree of guilt by success. But this falls down to the burglary situation. Of course, it's the breaking and entering with the intent to do something. Will you steal $10 million or steal nothing?
Well, let's look back at this, and how would you reorient this? Because assault is a lot closer to homicide than it is to burglary.
Well, I hate to go back to that gray volume and that miserable situation we have on the various grades and definitions. I'm not entirely certain we get away from some different grading based upon intent and the type of weapon used. I think a simple fist fight, regardless of result, less than death, should be just exactly that. Should be 1 degree.
Regardless,
well, how about the prize fighter that engages in the fight? Shouldn't he be penalized more than when you and I couldn't hurt anybody seriously enough unless they fell on something?
Maybe a deadly weapon situation. I don't know.
You're going back to the public policy that we had that if we run over somebody, back up.
Well, at the present time, the difference between simple assault and battery and the aggravated assault and battery without the dangerous weapon is if the person uses means and force likely to produce serious bodily injury.
Well, all right. What about the guy that runs around the building with a gun? Now, where does he fit in at this point? Now, somebody steps outside the door.
Running out of season.
The license.
What really disturbs me more than anything else, and the thing I've been trying to figure out, is it bothers me is that Dave Frost and Frank Knight are thinking alive.
How come that Dave Frost, if there's somebody backs over two separate people, two separate incidents, negligently and recklessly, and one of them has a broken hip, a broken leg, and the other simply has some abrasions, you don't sue for the same amount? That's what you're trying to do here.
Of course, in most instances of personal crimes, we determine the intent by the result.
Right, exactly.
In other words, we presently, that's our whole thing.
Yeah.
We don't know what the guy really had in mind, and we determine what he had in mind by what he actually accomplished. And
so
it's only the rare case where he's able to convince the jury that really he didn't intend to do that. We measure the intention and the culpability by the result.
Right.
I don't think we're departing from that.
No, I don't think we're not.
I know what we've done. I think it's finally dawned on me. Before, the direct assault mattered again. The assault before we measured by the putting in fear and the capability of committing the act. And now we're going to the accomplished fact.
Right.
Before,
exactly
the bad thing
right.
was, if you frighten me bad enough, you're going to be punished for it. Now we're saying you've got to hurt me bad enough before you're punished. If you hurt me really
well,
bad
under the second
one, yeah,
but
this assault.
But again, all we're doing is we're changing
right.
assault to battery.
Are we hung up on the policy?
But the same thing
of
that you say that you measure their intent by what they do. If he doesn't fire that dang gun,
or he misses you.
Well, then you'd have an attempt.
But you've got an attempt, and you've got to still measure the gravity of the attempt by the whether it fits within one or more of these sections. And the attempt becomes more grave when the circumstances which accompany it more closely approximate Section 3 than Section 2. And I don't see anything startling about that.
The only thing we're hung up on is that Frank wants a commitment from the commission that they'll make some of these acts felonies. Is there any further discussion?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
That's
right. I have two things to raise. One is, in assault in the third degree, and assault in the second degree, and so on, why we need both intentionally and knowingly. And I notice in the Model Penal Code there is a definition of knowingly, but I don't believe there's a definition of intentionally. I wonder whether we, and frankly, I think you probably covered the minutes, but I haven't had a chance to see the minutes.
If I could
explain yes.
that. Right, the definition of intentionally does not appear in the Model Penal Code, but there is a definition of purposely,
right.
which is basically the same as our definition of intentionally. The culpability definitions that are in subcommittee at this time include a separate definition for intentionally as well as a separate definition for knowingly.
They comprehend different states
yes.
of mind.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Number two, I have the question that you've got in Section 1, Sub 2, negligently causes physical injury to another by means of a deadly weapon, and in the table, which is back on page 4, you say this subsection in the comments covers any deadly weapon, including any type of vehicle, any vessel or aircraft, and that, according to my reading of it, doesn't comply with your definition of deadly weapon on page 2, which means a weapon designed for and presently capable of causing serious physical injury. And again, I haven't had a chance to read your minutes, and I think you discussed this at some length in the minutes, and I don't think that an automobile is a deadly weapon.
You're right, Judge, and this is a drafting error.
Right.
This was discussed in subcommittee, and I think that we changed that.
Yeah, we did.
It should reflect the change to both the dangerous or deadly.
You should look, I think, to around page 10 in the minutes, because we discussed this, and what we did was in subsection 3 of section 2, we included deadly. Particularly subsection 2 of section 2, we changed it from the earlier draft to reflect deadly or dangerous weapon so as to cover the vehicle situation.
You mean if he negligently?
No. In a simple assault or resultant third degree would occur where you cause physical injury to another, or through negligence cause physical injury to another by means of a dangerous weapon, or deadly weapon, that is to say. I think Don is saying that the vehicle description in the table is wrong. Is that all right? But when you get down to section 2, assault in the second degree, that covers the AWDW situation prevalent now by the use of a car, simply because we say deadly or dangerous weapon.
The point I'm trying to get at is I don't want to make a crime out of a rear end accident.
We're talking about the accomplished fact of the injury, not the act of the person in doing it.
Right.
Because we now have because assault is no longer assault, it's now battery.
Deadly weapon does not embrace a vehicle. Okay. Deadly weapon is defined in our definition section.
That's something which is designed to cause physical injury and presently capable.
But a dangerous
weapon,
from the way it's used.
I beg your pardon?
But a dangerous weapon is something that, from the manner in
which
it's used,
that,
is capable.
That could be the
which
car.
Which automobile is.
That could be the car, and that's covered in section 2, sub 2, covered in the minutes on page 10. And the minutes today should show that this commentary on page 4 should be corrected so that in the top box it should be this subsection covers any deadly weapon as defined by blank, and my subcommittee has approved the definition of deadly weapon, but this commission hasn't worked on it yet. Right, Don?
Well, my recollection is that we changed section 1 to, we were supposed to change it, and it was the intent of the subcommittee to include dangerous weapon in section 1, wasn't it?
No, because section 1 is going to be a misdemeanor, and we felt that AWDW involving a car was of a higher level, and it should be in second degree.
Mr. Pellett observed that if you now kill somebody with your car when you are driving under the influence, you could be charged with negligent homicide. However, if you were driving under the influence now and ran over somebody but didn't kill him, there would be no crime. It could be reckless driving, but as far as it relates to the victim, there is no crime. Senator Burns advised that the Model Penal Code speaks to this by striking the word dangerous so that it would read, negligently causes physical injury to another by means of a deadly weapon, and a car would not come under the definition of a deadly weapon. It's 20 minutes. That's the bottom of page
11.
10 and top of page 11.
Okay. Well, and furthermore, the
subsection 2 still has dangerous weapon.
Should be.
Perfect.
It should be. But I didn't want...
So if a guy's guilty of reckless driving and injures somebody, he is guilty of assault in the second degree. I mean, if he recklessly, under section 3, recklessly causes serious physical injury to another by means of a deadly or dangerous weapon.
No.
If his driving amounts to reckless.
No. that shouldn't be. If that's the way it reads, that's wrong. If you intentionally cause physical injury by means of a dangerous weapon, that's the car rundown situation.
But, well, that's subsection 2.
Right.
Intentionally or knowingly causes physical injury by means of a deadly or dangerous weapon. Or 3, recklessly causes serious physical injury.
Well, of course, one is serious and one is just physical. But there again, that's the old...
Well, but this brings up this thing about not wanting to bring all these auto accident cases in under the criminal law, and it gets back to this definition of serious physical injury. And
except the intentional rundown.
No, recklessly
causes
serious physical injury.
Section 3. Section 2, sub 3. You see, anytime you've got a guy guilty of what amounts to reckless driving,
well,
and somebody in fact is seriously injured.
The or dangerous, I think, should be struck from sub 3. But maybe I'm wrong.
No.
I don't want to have rear enders and automobile accidents ending up in the criminal courts.
Well, but of course, aren't we thinking about that it's not what the person who committed the act intended to happen, it's what was actually happened that we want to protect against now?
Pull the knife out, Frank. It's far enough in now.
Right, you know.
I mean, if a guy's almost dead, it doesn't make any difference to us how he became almost dead.
Well, you know, listening to you, I realize how liberal I've become after 2 years in the Senate with Plato. With Cody.
Mr. Chairman, I was wondering, I'm repeating it, but we dropped the or dangerous from the first draft, so that we're only talking about a gun. The only negligent thing that you can do would be involving a deadly weapon, which excludes automobile.
Right.
So the rest of it's intentionally.
Well, not under step
or
three.
Recklessly.
Yeah, intentionally or
but
recklessly.
But it's not negligently.
Well, yeah, certainly an automobile accident by simple negligence.
Well, you get away from Judge Burns' concern about the rear end.
Yeah, the driving would have to
amount. Let me rephrase that. About rear end accidents.
In other words, we have here under Section 2, Sub 3, an attempted negligent homicide. See, the person wasn't actually killed. He was just seriously injured by driving that amounted to reckless driving.
Right.
Here's one vote to keep that, or put that in the criminal law. I don't think those cases should be washed out.
Well, certainly not under this type of thinking, as long as we're thinking about the injury to the person as being the degree of crime. And it doesn't make any difference what the person's intention was. I would agree that... that your reckless driving that causes serious physical injury would be a second degree assault.
Well, I tried a case just about 3 months ago, and it was an appeal from the city on reckless driving, and the fellow went through a light. He claimed he had the light, but the others claimed he didn't, struck a car, and the argument was that it didn't measure up to reckless driving because it was just running a light. But the fact is, there were facts showing he'd cut in on another car, and that the terrain was such that you add them all together, and it was enough to make a fact question on recklessness within the meaning of that the court has given us on recklessness. And I would hate to think that kind of a situation should turn out to be what I suspect will be a felony, or at least an indictable misdemeanor every time that that happens in the automobile age, because I'm satisfied this will bring about a tremendous increase in prosecutions, because with your broad definition of serious physical injury, a car is clearly a dangerous weapon at all times, and the broad definition of serious physical injury, anytime you have protracted impairment, you have got a jury question, and the injured plaintiff is going to be right on the DA's doorstep saying prosecuted, because that's a good way to browbeat the settlement and all other kinds of things. And I think as a matter of policy, it'd be a terrible mistake to turn all of these into criminal cases of the seriousness that I think we will ultimately end up with on assault and second degree.
Well, then why, Judge, should it make any difference, really, as far as making an act a crime, whether or not the person was just almost killed or whether he was killed? I mean, the person's guilty intent has nothing to do with it.
Well, I think we would end up with an anomalous situation here, because what we'd be doing then is saying that if you recklessly endanger somebody, you commit a crime, even if that person isn't hurt. But if you recklessly inflict serious physical injury on somebody, there's no crime. And to me, that doesn't seem very consistent, to say the least.
You recklessly kill them, it isn't.
But if you go a step further and you recklessly kill them, then you'll have committed negligent homicide or something like that. But it seems to me that there's a good public policy here, protection of the people from this kind of injury. And we have statutes now that forbid recklessly endangering somebody. In fact, pointing a firearm at another is a form of recklessly endangering. Leaving a refrigerator without the hinges taken off is recklessly endangering somebody.
Could I ask the judge, what if he killed the person at the intersection in that one case? Would you still feel he should not have been prosecuted for negligent homicide?
I assume he would have been, very likely would have been prosecuted for negligent homicide, but you would, this is the very reason why we have the negligent homicide statute, is because that type of thing used to be handled only by manslaughter, and it just wouldn't work. That's why you've got negligent homicide, a lesser offense, so to speak.
Probably couldn't have gone past a direct verdict on a negligent homicide case, though, because the elements that you described wouldn't be sufficient to constitute gross negligence within the meaning as it applies to negligent homicide.
Well, that was a mistake, but he didn't appeal, so now, that's the law of that case.
Now, perhaps the definition of recklessly will help a little in considering this, and the definition that's before subcommittee number one right now defines recklessly, and it means that with respect to a result or to a circumstance described by a statute defining a crime, a person is aware of and consciously disregards a substantial and unjustifiable risk that the result will occur, in your case, somebody being hurt by the car, or that the circumstance exists. The risk must be of such nature and degree that disregard thereof constitutes a gross deviation from the standard of care that a reasonable person would observe in the situation. This is what we'd be talking about when we're talking about recklessly causing physical injury, whether that helps or not.
Chairman, I have one other comment about this area, and that is the definition of physical injury seems to me to be that perhaps it could be improved. Presently is defined as impairment of physical condition or substantial pain. Now, do I read that to mean that physical injury means substantial pain?
Why doesn't Dr. Graham answer that?
He's on that. Didn't we cover this drive once before? I think we did.
In subcommittee, yes.
Unfortunately, I didn't have time to read the minutes because I got them today, so I apologize for that.
Yes, we did cover that in subcommittee. We had some expert medical advice and it didn't cost us $100.
No into.
But in answer to your question, that was our intent, that it would cover substantial pain within the definition of physical injury.
Terms of that pain in there. Hmm? Oh,
can I ask Judge Burns questions then?
Yeah, please do.
I thought you might bring it up, Judge. In reading Assault in the Second Degree, where we talk about intentionally or knowingly causing physical injury by means of a deadly or dangerous weapon, particularly with respect to a deadly weapon, say, do you think that there is the possibility of any perky problem here. I hate to bring up that case, but do you think there's any perky problem possibly between Section 2 and Section 3, where we're talking about an aggravated crime because of circumstances manifesting gross indifference to the value of human life? In other words, do you think that you could argue that the mere use of a deadly weapon manifests a gross indifference to the value of human life, and that if you have a situation in which a deadly weapon's been employed by the defendant, the district attorney could choose either assault in the first degree because he says to himself, well, he used a deadly weapon, therefore that shows a gross indifference to the value of human life. Or he could say, well, he used a dangerous weapon, and that's specifically provided for in Section 2, assault in the second degree, so I'm going to take him for that. Now, do you think there's any possibility of any problem there?
I don't think so. Not with a commentary on the gross indifference that we talked about earlier. I would think you could cure a perky problem by the commentary.
Serious physical injury. I'm glad to hear you say that.
Mr. Chairman, I move we go back to kidnapping.
I think we're making. Oh no, I think we're moving along quite well.
I've heard a lot of squawking, but is there going to be any motion on Section 2, subsection 3, and 2 and 3 both on deadly or dangerous? Are you going to? Someone going to move to strike dangerous?
Well, dangerous is already excluded
a motor vehicle
in Section
from the
1.
Definition of. Dangerous weapon?
Well, I think it's already been done. They were talking with respect to sub 2 of section 1, which originally had dangerous in it. Assault in the third degree.
Mm-hmm.
So it's out.
I move we approve section 1 as is.
With second, with a physical instead of bodily.
Yes.
Correct.
Is there any further discussion on section 1? If not, all those in favor will say aye.
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 I move we. I
oppose no.
I move we approve section 2 as it is.
Now, just a minute on section. Well, go ahead, tell me the
second.
Section 2, all right.
Second. No, right. Somewhere now. What I have here is the green.
Get your black book.
Get your.
It's got somewhere there's something has been changed. Some word.
Physical. The sub 1. The word bodily has been changed to physical.
The copies you have in your book should show the changes there in that language, in your black book.
Well, but I thought, Don, didn't you say that there's a typographical error somewhere, that somewhere dangerous is, that it shouldn't be?
No.
Like
no.
Section 2, sub 2?
No. No, I said I wasn't sure whether the subcommittee had decided to eliminate dangerous as an adjective for weapon in section 1, but we decided to begin.
Yeah, they did.
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend Senator Burton's motion so as to remove the words or dangerous in subsection 3 of section 2. Without any expectation that I will get a second.
I second.
could you, Mr. Chairman, could I get that motion?
The motion has been made to amend your motion in order that sub 3 of section 2 may be amended as to eliminate the words or dangerous in the second line. So they would read, recklessly causes serious physical injury to another by means of a deadly weapon.
Chairman, could I ask Senator Lent to comment on this, because he was there during most of the town.
Yeah, I read quite a bit of his. Do you want these?
I got them. I asked John.
Oh. If you recall, we were in subcommittee talking about the car situation. And maybe we take the motion now that Jay's gone. we were talking about the car situation and also about opening this up to unlimited exposure as far as
that
it's already passed, Jim.
It already failed. As far as the civil rear enders and whatnot getting into the criminal section. What do you think?
There was a tree during that meeting. If you recall it, I had to go to another meeting just like I had to do today, and I think that was it, because along about the top of page something or other here in these minutes, it shows that I came back.
Shows you left, too. You were gone. Just
I think I was gone during that particular time, John. I really am serious, and maybe I wasn't. If I wasn't, I don't have it in my memory right at the moment.
John, would you or Don, either one of you, briefly state again why you feel that the words "or dangerous" are necessary in sub 3 of section 2?
Well, Don, why don't you? Because I'm not sure. I think that the words "or dangerous" are very necessary in section 2 to cover the happenstance where somebody intentionally runs down another. Another with a car, which is a dangerous weapon, but not a deadly weapon. However, for sub 3, where you have a reckless driving situation because of the "or dangerous" in there, I just don't know.
I remember now where you get your difference, though. Of course, is the you go to recklessly in the third one, but the physical injury then must be serious rather than just slight.
Mm-hmm.
That was the difference between those two.
Or cause substantial pain. Never
mind. No.
Well, maybe I can get back and harp at the same problem that I have with the whole assault statute, but let's say when you say knowingly cause physical injury to another, get out the intentionally situation, throw away that. Now, if I accidentally run over somebody with my car, I know that I have caused physical injury to him. So am I then guilty of second degree assault?
Well,
why?
Not if it's, unless the accident was a result of recklessness, as that term was defined. We're not talking about a mere accident or mere negligence. We're talking about recklessness, where you would have to consciously disregard an unjustifiable risk that such an injury would occur to somebody, and that you disregard this, and that the injury, furthermore, has to be a serious physical injury, as that term is defined, and not just pain or suffering, but serious physical injury, protracted loss of the use of an organism, such as that.
I don't think that's Frank's point. His point in subsection 2 is that it can be either intentionally or knowingly.
I don't have to intend, but I have to just know that I have done it.
Well, you have to bear in mind that the definition of the term knowingly.
And that's what references itself is that.
And maybe, I think this assault the back has got to be so
important
too.
Yeah. Reckless running down.
Yeah, right. Now, knowingly means more than what you think of. It means knowingly means that with respect to the conduct or the circumstance described by a statute defining a crime, a person acts with an awareness that his conduct is of that nature or that the circumstance exists.
It's a present matter rather than a historical.
Knowingly refers to the knowing what you're going to do before you've done it, intending to do it, rather than knowing that you've done it afterwards.
The whole question is whether we want to provide that when an automobile operated recklessly causes serious physical injury, whether that should be second degree assault. We know it's third degree.
Which will probably be a felony. Which would probably be a felony.
It wouldn't be third degree.
Well,
it would not be in third degree.
No.
Recklessly causes physical injury to another.
In third degree?
Or a deadly weapon, though.
No, we're talking about deadly weapon.
Well, actually, Mr. Chairman, the motion is probably...
No, I'm sorry. You're right.
The motion is probably badly put because it would remove from that section not only automobiles, but other things as well, and I don't...
It would, baseball bat.
Well, I don't have any, I don't hold any brief for the reckless use of baseball bats as falling within this.
Well, it would.
So actually, what I should do with the consent of the second is to withdraw the motion to amend and instead move that an appropriate commentary be added to reflect that we do not intend automobiles to be dangerous weapons within the meaning of this subsection.
Within second degree.
Within the meaning of second degree, yes. Because I want to leave baseball bats in and that sort of thing.
Subsection 3 of section 2.
Yes, that's what I mean.
In other words, you don't think that automobiles should be covered any place in assault.
Well, yeah.
Intentionally.
Well, except for intentional, yeah.
It could also be recklessly causing physical injury to another in assault in the third degree.
But if it's intentional.
Yeah, in the third degree.
Intentionally or recklessly causes physical injury to another. Still be
a
third.
Judge, I take a little different view of this than you do. Among other things, I sit on the traffic safety commission, and looking at the study that was made by the traffic safety commission, prosecutions for negligent homicide, less than 3% of negligent homicide cases ever go to prosecution. I think that we've got to do something about tightening up our enforcement of this. Not only negligent homicide, but serious injury of individuals by reckless and negligent conduct. And so I would dissent from that.
Mr. Chairman, let me say that I think one of the things we have to strive for is consistency. And just as it was discussed, and I've been ambivalent on this today, and frankly the reason is I didn't read my minutes as thoroughly as I should have. But it just seems to me if we're going to have a negligent homicide situation where a person is going to be exposed to prosecution where they kill somebody, that it would be appropriate within the definition of recklessness as defined, which is pretty precise, and with the added factor here of serious physical injury, to leave it the way it is and not put something in the commentary that as to section 2, we mean automobiles, and then section 3, we don't. I can think of no better reason for feeling this way than a case I prosecuted where two little girls were riding along the shoulder of 122nd on a bicycle, and some guy who was drunk ran them down and killed one, didn't kill the other. But because he killed the one, he was prosecuted for negligent homicide. And he was grossly negligent. I feel that under the circumstances, even if he hadn't killed one of them, there should have been some appropriate sanction attached to that conduct. Now, I know it runs headlong into the civil aspect, but I think I will. I'm just saying that I'm going to dissent from the motion.
Well, if we knew here today exactly what the penalties were going to be for third degree and second degree, we might be in a little better position to approach this. And I think your answer would be to an automobile going 105 miles an hour, striking someone and seriously injuring them, crippling them for life. And if I were to say that should be in second degree, I suppose you'd say, well, he's still guilty of assault in the third degree. We take automobiles out of the second degree, the reckless situation. But without having that knowledge or that information as to what these penalties are going to be, I personally feel, now that's the type of the situation That's an extreme one, of course, and there could be others where there's a close question as to whether or not it's reckless or it isn't, and they could be charged with assault in the second degree. But I think we're probably better off by leaving the dangerous language in here so that automobiles could come under second degree, and then let the district attorney determine, as he analyzed the facts in the case, whether he's going to prosecute under third degree. It's a lesser included offense anyway, but what he's going to do.
Let the jury worry about it.
Yes.
Yeah. I think my feeling on this, whether automobiles should be included in this, is simply that as long as what we are doing is determining the degree of injury that a person suffers, rather than the intention of the person in committing the act, that the automobile should well be included in this.
Which probably would.
Because it doesn't make any difference whether a person is shot and almost killed, or whether he is hit by a car and almost killed. He's almost dead in both instances.
All right, any further discussion on Senator Burns' motion?
Question.
Judge Burns'
I mean, the Judge Burns is the question. I beg your pardon. All those in favor of his motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
No. Motion is defeated. Any discussion on Senator Burns' motion?
Question.
To question? Been called for. All those in favor of approving Section 2, second degree, as written, will say aye, except that the word bodily is physical.
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Motion is carried.
I think I'd move, Mr. Chairman, to approve Section 3.
Motion's been made to approve Section 3. Is second?
Second.
Any discussion? Not all those in favor of approving Section 3 will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion is carried.
The prosecution is fighting right down.
You're right down.
He, on the one hand, wants us to write his indictments by statute, and Judge Burns wants us to write his instructions here.
Yeah.
It's our problem.
If I wasn't used to just knocking my head against the wall for no useful purpose, I wouldn't be in that job.
All right, now.
Section 4, menacing.
Right. Page 14. Now you're cooking, Mr. Chairman. You're moving along. And here we have an intentional... We have an intentional attempt to place another in fear, as distinguished, of course, from an intentional attempt to actually cause physical injury. We're looking at the result, the effect this has in the mind of the victim. And over on page 15, we cite State versus Wilson again, and some language in that case, I think, has a bearing on this section. The court said the apprehension of injury on the part of the victim need not be shown to make out the crime. Further, it seems clear that an act done with the intention to place one in apprehension of injury only and not to inflict corporal injury would not constitute a crime of assault in this state. And two, according to the definition, an act done with the intention to inflict corporal injury but where the actor did not have the present ability to inflict corporal injury would not be a criminal assault. The proposed draft creates a new offense of menacing to cover the situation where the actor places or attempts to place another person in fear of imminent serious bodily harm, we should say serious physical injury, and where serious injury is neither intended nor inflicted. This is similar to both New York and Michigan, this lesser crime of menacing. Under the model penal code, they would deal with this as simple assault. And then we have at the bottom of page 14 some hypotheticals set out. Mm-hmm. Anything else that I need to discuss?
What if, Mr. Chairman, what if I hand you an unloaded gun and you point at that and you say I'm going to shoot you? Are you then guilty of the crime of menacing? And I know it's unloaded. I apprehend the danger, but I do not.
Do I know that you know it?
Let's assume you don't.
Okay. Well, if I don't, I think perhaps I am guilty.
What if you do?
I'd say that there isn't any intent to place him in fear.
If the gun goes off, you're guilty of murder.
No, we both know it's unloaded. I could point it at him all day.
I'll
victim know the gun was loaded?
Well, it depends on whether the actor knows that the victim knows that he knows.
Well,
that's
what I say.
But our second hypothetical comes close to your question. The actor's conduct is such as would cause fear to a reasonable man, but the intended victim is aware that the actor will not inflict the threatened harm. Or, the victim knows that the actor's gun is not loaded. It's intended that this section would cover that kind of situation as menacing.
Well, are we...
Would you finish your question, please?
Okay. Now, in assault, it's what actually happens. Now, here, in menacing, we go back to the actor, that he's attempting to put the person in fear. So whether the person is actually in fear or anything else is not involved in this. Like Judge Broom says, that he knows the gun is unloaded, so he's not in fear of it at all. That it would still be menacing if the other person attempted to place him in fear. I guess that's all right.
You got a question now.
Central Lynch, Bud.
Supposing I think I've got a loaded gun, but Judge Burns knows it's not loaded, and can I attempt to menace him when menace itself has attempt as one of its elements?
If by word or conduct, now you have, you don't know that he knows it's unloaded.
And I think it is loaded.
Well, you have intentionally attempted to place him in fear of imminent serious physical harm.
But he isn't in fear.
It doesn't make any difference. You have attempted to place him in fear.
I don't think you can have attempted menace. Because
is there any way in the world then you can have attempted menace?
I wouldn't think so. No, I don't.
Because it bothered me last time around.
Here again, we're going back. It doesn't make any difference whether the person is actually in fear or not. I mean, a person could be completely frightened and have a heart attack if the other guy didn't intend to put him in that situation.
Yeah. Any further questions on this very short, interesting, clear section?
I second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded. We adopt section 4. Any further discussion? All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion is carried. Please turn to the next section. 5, page 17.
I think we're moving by reason of the nearness of.
Do we have a call?
All right, this is the last section in the article, recklessly endangering another person. Person commits a crime of recklessly endangering another person if he recklessly engages in conduct which creates a substantial risk of serious physical injury to another person. This is adapted from New York, the Revised Penal Law, Section 120.20. It's similar to Model Penal Code, Section 211.2, but does not include the words danger of death. That's employed in the Model Penal Code. It's felt that these words were redundant in light of our definition of serious physical injury.
How about a drunk who's trying to balance two bottles at a party? One of them falls, hurts somebody.
Well, person commits a crime of reckless endangering.
Whether or not that would be a substantial risk, I think would be the key issue in that situation.
Playing pitch and turns the card table over and chips hit someone in the eye, or glass does.
Limbs a hot coffee in one fellow's lap.
Yeah, yeah.
Would a broken nose be
serious
physical injury? Protracted impairment of the function of a bodily organ?
I don't think so. I've had mine broken 3 times.
Isn't it a protracted impairment of the function to have your nose broken?
Well, it isn't so protracted.
His nose. You're not talking about his nose.
No, no.
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
I'm talking about it.
Is that the definition?
That's the definition. And it occurs to me that there are a lot of things that
create a substantial risk of a broken nose.
Well, like saying, oh yeah. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
There's something bothered me at the subcommittee meeting, and still bothers me. The second line here. If he recklessly engages in conduct, which I get back to thinking this should be, if he engages in reckless conduct, and I think we decided before that maybe it was just a distinction without a difference, but I'm not sure there's a distinction.
You brought this up several times, and we can't feel you have a fix on this. Same type of a deal. But there's something to that. If he engages in reckless conduct, which creates...
If he recklessly endangers the person, if he engages in reckless conduct, which creates a substantial...
All right. Risk. Could you engage recklessly in a conduct which is not reckless conduct? What is reckless conduct? This refers to any type of conduct, and if you engage in it recklessly, you could engage in it normally or properly, you could engage in it negligently, you could engage in it recklessly, but what is reckless conduct?
Well,
Section 492
of the Mr. Chairman, if we depart from what we're doing and go to Senator Lynn's suggestion, then we have to go back and change our culpability definitions because the entire code has been set up by the use of this as an adverb. That's out.
I'm moving it out. Forget it.
It's defined to apply to.
I second the motion.
Forget it, I'll argue in
the motion has been. Motion has been made and seconded to adopt Section 5. Any further pertinent discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I have one other question. Would there be any difference between attempted assault in the second degree and recklessly endangering under Section 5?
Were you directing that question to the chairman or to Don?
I'm sorry, Jed, I didn't catch your whole question.
Would there be a difference between Section 5, recklessly endangering, and attempted assault in the second degree, specifically the subsection 3?
Section 3. Negligently causes physical.
3 means deadly or dangerous.
A deadly weapon. No deadly weapon is necessary. One relates to conduct, the other with conduct involving a deadly weapon. There could be a situation where...
Suppose I run a red light, and the surrounding circumstances are such that, oh, it's a blind corner, and it's late at night, and one thing and another, and am I guilty of recklessly endangering?
I would think so, if the circumstances were such. That performing that conduct in a reckless way created a substantial risk, and that's a matter of proof. I would say yes, under certain circumstances.
Wouldn't I also be guilty of an attempt to commit crime under Section
5? I think it comes back to our early discussion whether you can have an attempt to act recklessly.
Yeah, that's...
I don't think you can.
Like an attempt at involuntary manslaughter.
But no attempt.
Because an attempt is planning to do an act.
Chairman.
And further discussion. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All right. Aye. Opposed, no. Motion is carried. Are there any more seconds? No.
No, that's it.
And kidnapping goes back to the subcommittee. Meeting adjourned.
I kind of like kidnapping. Things seem to be going along pretty
good. We go back and try kidnapping.
Kidnapping while we're all tired.